Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode, where today I'm joined by ex-coworker Justin. What's up, my guy?
Not much. I am so excited to talk about other people's misery.
We were just talking about other people's misery, but yeah, this is a different kind of misery. Justin, I have to tell you, this week's episode was the quickest I've ever turned around a story before. So we were doing this thing called The Truth Will Set You Free on The Burt Show. We'll give people $100 to call in with their deepest, darkest secrets. And a woman named Terry called in and she was like, oh, my soon-to-be ex-husband slept with my daughter and he was trying to pretend that our grandchild or his son was actually our grandchild. And I was like, oh my God. So she's like, yeah.
Podcast.
She brought it up. She's like, this would be great for your podcast because I'm going to serve him divorce papers at the same time I serve him a DNA test because she still hasn't told him.
So I love that because that's like that's like straight up chaos. That's like waiting till your wedding day to someone did that recently where like on their wedding day, they through like a projector posted video of the ex cheating on them with like one of the bridal party or groomsmen party like people, and he just like broadcast it in front of everybody. It's just like, if you're gonna do it, go for chaos and just like tear everything down.
That's fucking crazy because that's the kind of stuff I would do, but only if I couldn't get my money back on the party. Like if I had evidence that they were cheating or doing something shady, I still want to wear that dress. I still want the party to happen.
Right.
But I'm going to burn the village down.
Could you sit on that info though for like, I don't know, a month or two just to like get to that day? I don't know if I could. That's the problem I would have.
Knowing if I would have that kind of payoff. Absolutely. For me, if I know I'm going to get good results, if I know if there's a good payoff, for sure.
Yeah. Live stream the whole thing. Burn it down. Make it happen. Get your party on. Yeah.
Go TikTok viral.
And then get hit up for your podcast and then you're good.
Yeah. I will hit myself up for my own interview. Can you imagine? I always wonder that. I'm like, if I ever get into a relationship and have like a horrible breakup.
How do I do it?
It's not even like the Taylor Swift treatment. And I don't mean to like belittle Taylor Swift in any way, because y'all know I love Taylor Swift, where, oh, she's going to write a song about you. I'm not going to write some beautiful song about you. I'm just going to fucking blast you to 50,000 people.
You just would have to set up like an AI to go through all your old podcast episodes and compile questions that you've asked. And then you listen to that question, ask you that question, and then you just answer it. It'd be like you're interviewing yourself, but you would still not really know the question that's coming your way.
Well, people are getting so good because a lot of the people that come on have listened to the podcast before that sometimes they don't even really need me to ask questions. Like at this point,
let them go.
I'm like, okay, they're like, is this going to be hard? Is it going to be like a conversation or an interview? And I'm like, it'll be like a conversation. And then 50 minutes later, I finally say something.
You're like, okay, now it's my turn.
And it's always just like, how did that make you feel?
Therapist. Yeah, like therapist angle. Yeah, I know. I get it.
Really, my job isn't so much interviewer as it is just active listener. But anyway, so let me tell you what happened. So this woman started dating this guy later in life. Like her daughter, she said in the interview, was 22 years old at this point. So this is not a first time relationship or anything.
This really feels like, again, I haven't heard the full story yet. It kind of feels like the rumors that are happening with the Cyruses right now. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes. I have seen what you're talking about, where apparently Tish stole the daughter's boyfriend / hookup.
And now they're married.
And now they're married.
Dominic Purcell, who was one of the main actors in Prison Break. Great show if you haven't watched it.
I tried watching it and it was too gory for me.
It is a little too much. I get it. But that's right up my alley for like shows I need. Like that Prison Break was it. But yeah, so he apparently, allegedly, again, these are just rumors, but apparently Dolly Parton like stopped promoting her album to go out there to like try to help the family mend this and can't. I don't know.
Oh my God.
But yeah, apparently Noah and Dominic were a thing and then they were no longer a thing. And now Dominic Purcell is married to Noah's mom, Miley's mom. And it's all like been leaking out in little articles that I'm not sure are true or not. Like that's just been, I don't know. Who knows?
Heard,
but like Noah did some like sub tweets the other day. So I don't know.
I heard that this was an open secret in Hollywood and people are like, oh, I can't believe people are just now finding out about this.
Wow. That's crazy.
Anyway, I would like to say, oh yeah, it's just like that, but it's not. So it was this woman who was dating this man, and I guess he had had some signs of infidelity, but she never expected him to sleep with her daughter, obviously. Mm-hmm. I guess they were just kind of going through some stuff, and they decided to have an affair, and then the daughter got pregnant, and she started catching a vibe. Like, women can just pick up on stuff. When
it's terrifying.
Yes. And when the baby came out looking like the husband, she was like, you know what? I'm going to do a DNA test. But of course, the husband wasn't going to agree to this. So she had to get a Q-tip and dip it in his spit bottle to get the, like, you know, when people dip and they like.
Yeah, this full on like FBI Mission Impossible. Yeah. Okay.
The daughter did it. Obviously, she was able to get the grandson's cheat because like the kid doesn't know. And then It came back 99.9% accurate that it was his son. And honestly, it is really heartbreaking because now it's turned into like this custody battle almost because she wants to take care of the grandson.
Okay.
Could you do that? Like, let's say 50 years in the future, Nicole gets knocked up with your second wife's.
That'd be wild.
Well, no, I guess let's say
it would be like it would be like Quinn having a child, which she is not allowed to do, by the way. Like,
yeah,
I can't even get my head around that. I told her already. I joked with Nicole. I was like, Quinn's not allowed to get not allowed to date until she's married. And then she's like, well, how's she going to do that? I'm like, that's the point. I don't think I can handle that yet.
An arranged marriage, obviously. Yeah,
of course.
So I guess when Nicole dumps her ass and gets remarried, Quinn has his kid. Could you take care of it?
From my angle, that's a whole nother, because I'm the dumped, like I was removed from the situation now. So that makes it even harder. And I would have been like, you brought this man into our house and he took advantage of our daughter. You know what I mean? Like, that's how anger would be like, it wouldn't be towards either of them. It'd be more towards the guy and then Nicole in that situation, I think.
Okay, then let me pause. Let me say, okay, so let's say you and Nicole break up. You get with some woman and you have a son. Let's say it's your wife sleeping with your son.
We'd be done. That's for damn sure. Like, that's a done no. But yeah, I think like, I don't know, the kids, how old is the kid now too? Because like, So for 6 years, you've been taking care of this kid like it's yours. Mm-hmm. You don't just like, you know, it's not just like rip the Band-Aid off and it's no longer yours. You know, like if even Quinn now, like it came out, you know, she's 7 years old and I found out like that love that you feel for the kid, like you can't just turn that off. Mm-hmm. Even if they weren't biologically mine, I would need a little bit of time to like get around that and how much, you know, time would feel like, I guess I was deceived in a way. But at the end of the day, I've still raised you from the day you were born. So I'm your dad, you know, like that would kind of be the approach. It's the same as the documentary, the one of the doctor that was helping people with like IVF and he was putting his own sperm into like all these people are related to each other within like a 50 mile radius. It's like the dad's like, my daughter's 30 years old and I just found out she's not biologically my kid. Like, that's a tough pill to swallow. And mentally, I don't know how you get around that. But at the end of the day, like, I still raised you for 30 years. Like, your morals that you developed after you were born were molded because of me. Mm-hmm. So I'm still a part of your life. And I wouldn't want to just like cut that out.
Yeah. Well, in a way, it's sort of like an adopted kid.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Still gonna love an adopted kid just because they didn't come from you. And mm-hmm. In a way, they're still kind of part of your blood. Like, if there's
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's your grandchild, so I mean,
not even that. Like, yeah, the first time they got hurt, you were there. The first time they played a sport and I don't know, made a goal at soccer, you were there in theory. It's like you're still there in their memories for the rest of their lives and your lives, and you helped mold them to the person they are. So you might not feel like you're the dad anymore. Biologically, you aren't in general, but you still helped push them down the path that they're going. So
yeah, it does put you in a weird position with your child, though. So how do you think you would handle that? Because the person I interviewed has no relationship with their daughter now.
Yeah, I don't think I could. Yeah, you know, if it were mine, like, again, back to the Miley Cyrus stuff, like that. How do you look at your parents who are now dating the person you were dating? You know, for lack of a better comparison, Eskimo brothers or sisters or whoever with your mom or dad, like that's weird. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with the, I mean, if we're going to bring it back to the Noah Cyrus thing, we don't really know the depth of that relationship.
Like, right. That's fair.
They could have hooked up once and then maybe, you know, somehow.
But even that, like, I don't know. Like if it like, what was it? Like if I went to the bars and hooked up with somebody and then like a month later my dad is single in this situation, is like, oh, this is Sarah, I met her out and it's the same person, I'll be like, dad, no, like this can't happen, no, stop. Like, what? Like, I guess in that situation, because neither party knew, it's a little like less gross in my mind. Still gross, don't get me wrong, still gross, but like less gross. Whereas if he had met her, like we went on like 4 dates, she came over, my dad cooked dinner for us, and then like a month later they're hooking up, no, I'm not, nope, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, because for me, I think the biggest thing is the betrayal, like for your kid to go behind your back knowing that this was something that was going to hurt you. Because the way the person I interviewed described it was that the daughter was like, oh, well, you deserve this. You were horrible to me growing up, blah, 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 blah.
There's got to be some underlying anger for sure.
Yeah. Whereas the husband to me just sounds like somebody who's very accustomed to cheating. And so what's one more person, even if it's just your wife's child.
And I do wonder, I don't want to sound, I guess the word would be insincere or belittling or whatever the word is to it, but I wonder how the hooking up was initiated, if that makes sense. Like, was what did she go in saying, I'm going to do this because I know it's going to ruin my mom a little bit, out of that anger? Was there a little bit of like, you know, drop some flirty touching or whatever, you know, like the subtle hints were thrown out there maybe. And that's where, you know, this guy who's prone to being an idiot and cheating was just going, oh, you know, like, okay, you know, you know, maybe there was that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds to me, it was very vindictive on the daughter's part, which is really sad because obviously she feels really alone. She's like, look, I've lost my husband, I've lost my daughter, and the only person I have to cling to at this point is the person at the center of all of this, which is her grandson. And I asked her, I was like, do you feel any resentment? Like when you look at him, do you just see like, this is the reason why my life is falling apart? She's like, no, like I literally love this kid with all my heart. And I told her, I was like, I feel like he's going to be the reason you don't feel lonely in the next year. Like you're going to feel lonely now because you've lost two very important people to you. But at the same time, it's weird that it's kind of beautiful that the quote unquote worst thing that could happen to you is really what's going to save you in the end.
Yeah. And I think it could go both ways, right? Like you just have undying love for that kid, or that kid reminds you of the most, I guess, frustrating thing in your life at the moment. And I would imagine the care that you've been having for that kid for that many years would trump the frustration or the anger. And then you just dive headfirst into it's you and me. Like it's us. We got this, you know?
Yeah. And I think she feels responsible for him too, because the child's also autistic and she's looking at these two parents who she says don't really have the capacity to be able to care for him in the way that he deserves to be cared for.
There can be that. So, yeah.
I know. I like really want the world for this woman because I'm like, God, what a horrible situation for these two people to backstab you. And she even said that she's like, I got to raise another kid. And that kind of sucks, even though now she's been put in this position. So I'm like, God, I wish there was something we could do to help her.
I know it. Well, and I get that too. Like even like jokingly, like my parents were talking about moving down here for the longest time to live close to Nicole and I when Quinn was being born. And ultimately they didn't. And my mom kind of told me, she's like, not to sound horrible, like we would love to help you out with Quinn, but we're also about to retire. And like, we want to be retired. And I'm like, I get that. Like, you know, you don't want me showing up on a Wednesday being like, here's your grandchild. You know, like I got to go to the bar. I'll see you later. So I get that too. You know, a little bit of like your whole life, you're working towards something. And then all of a sudden it like kind of diverts, or you in a way feel like you're restarting with a kid. And now from what you were saying, a kid that's going to need extra special attention, that can be tough.
Yeah. It's almost like not you're being back to square one, but you're back to the kid days.
Well, Nicole and I joke about it all the time, right? Like I joke with Quinn, it's like, all right, we just got to get to 6 years old. And then she's half the day is in school and we'll be back to just you and me again. And she's like, unless we have another kid. I'm like, right. Then we start back from square zero and we have to go 5-6 more years again. Yeah. But you know, it's worth it.
So more of the story is you and Nicole need to have a kid ASAP so you can get out of these kid years.
So her cousin just had a baby. And the pictures are obviously the cutest thing ever. And Nicole turns to me holding Quinn. And she goes, Quinny, do we want to tell dad that your mom's having baby fever again? And I said, I'm sleeping on the couch. Like, you get away from me. Do not come near me.
Do not come near me. To me. That's so funny because my cousin just got married. And I texted my mom while I was in line at Publix today. And I was like, I don't want to be married, but I do want a wedding.
I don't want to be married, but I want to celebrate a wedding.
I do just want a big party all about me.
I get it. I will say, like, again, I feel like I've said this on the podcast all the time, though. Like, the two weddings that I've had, because somehow I've had two weddings. That's so wild to me. The one that was smaller, more intimate, like only 16 people, just like the main family members, was a million times better than the big party.
Yeah, just because you felt like you had to be around everybody.
No, it felt like, you know, like First Dance, when it's only 16 people, it's like you're doing that First Dance for you and your significant other. When I did this First Dance for the big party of over 200 people, it was like, I felt like I was the, you know, dance monkey, entertain us, do something fun, you know, like it's all that. And then like the best man speech, all that stuff was great. But it was very like we did the best man speech at the 16 person party. And that was a direct, like that just felt like a conversation between me and my brothers and me and Nicole's sister. And then they changed up the speeches again for the second one. But it felt more like, let me tell you a little bit about Justin. It wasn't necessarily us having a moment thing.
Yeah.
So there is that to keep in mind as well.
Makes total sense. Well, anyway, thanks, Justin, for coming on and reacting to this episode with me. It was a wild one, and it's one I've gotten a ton of comments on. So we'll have to maybe do a follow-up with her after she serves the divorce papers finally, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I would, or live stream it, like something.
Which, side note, a lot of people were DMing me. They're like, why isn't she serving the divorce papers now? Because it was a question I forgot to ask her in the middle.
Yeah.
And God, I don't know if I can reveal that actually. Basically, it's a very simple answer, but it doesn't have to do with love. It has something to do with like logistics. So I guess I'll leave that there. I'll let her talk about it when she comes back on maybe one day.
Well, and I wonder if it has something to do with the kid's age and parenting and how that would land in the courts.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with that.
Okay, because I know that does become
sounds,
a thing.
Yeah, it sounds more ominous than it is. I just don't want to do anything that's going to put her in jeopardy. But it has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with safety and more to do with, like, life. Mm-hmm. We got another one coming to you on Tuesday, so I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.